Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, you may be seated. Now, some of you will be very familiar with the three chairs. I'm going to use them in a slightly different way this morning. During the week, I've been explaining to the students and the team what God has been doing amongst us and where we go from here at a spiritual level, not just in the outworking of the vision, but what God is wanting to do within us spiritually. And these three chairs represent what is going to go up on the screen now. Your spirit, you see this is a much better chair than the other two, for good reason, as you'll see. And this is the soul, and the soul consists of those three things up there on the screen, the mind, the emotions, and the will. And this chair represents your body. Now, we're just going to get the body out of the way for the moment. I expect some of you wish you could do that more often. We'll come to the body a little later on. We've only had a short time of worship because we really need time to respond to what it is God is saying to us this morning. Now, here is your spirit. Now, you have a spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit, your human spirit. And this is your soul, which is, in shorthand, your self-life, the person that you are in the natural. Now, this chair is much nicer because when you were born again, the Spirit of God came to live in your spirit. Now, listen to what the Scripture says about you. And by that will, that is the will of God, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the one body, Jesus Christ, once for all. We have been made holy. So because the Holy Spirit has come to live in your spirit, you have been made holy. Now we're going to see what that means in a little while. But first of all, we have to believe what the Scripture says. If you believe what the Scripture says, then the confession of faith over your life is, I have been made holy. Now you find that in Hebrews chapter 10. Might astound some of you that you are actually holy in the eyes of God, but this is the word of God. But it gets even better later in the chapter. Remember, it says that it's by what Jesus has done for you through his sacrifice that you have been made holy. And then it says later, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So here in your spirit, you are holy. Here you have perfection. Why? Because Christ is in you and he is the perfect one. In him there is no sin. In him there is no darkness. In him there is no perfection. So perfection isn't something that you can create for yourself. Perfection is something that God has put within your spirit. An astounded silence. When he's writing to the Corinthians, Paul, in his first letter to them, which is actually the second letter he wrote to them, but the first one doesn't exist, but it's obviously a reply to a letter that was sent in response to Paul's previous letter. But there are all kinds of problems going on in the church in Corinth. There's immorality, there's division, there's party factions, you name it, it's happening. But instead of just bringing all the correction that they need, Paul begins by reminding them of the truth. So he says this, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified, which means made holy in Christ Jesus. So he's reminding them, before he addresses all the problems, you have been made holy. But then he says, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy in your soul life, made holy in the spirit, called to be holy in your soul life, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So this truth is not just for the church in Corinth. It's for all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord, so that includes us here in Horsham. So God's word to us is you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You have been made holy. And because you have been made holy, you have been made perfect forever. The perfect one lives within you. But you're called to be holy. Now, holiness is a word I think that most Christians dread because they think they're unholy. But if you know that God has made you holy, there's no need to fear it. And holiness, really there are five main constituents to holiness. There's love, that what God did was to put the spirit of love into you. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. So what God wants is to get that love from your spirit into your soul life, so that that love is expressed here, because this is, if you like, the active part of your life every day. So here you express love for God and love for others. And your body, of course, will express that in the actions you perform and the words you speak. It's not only love, but it's faith. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, but He's also the Spirit of faith. With that same faith, we speak, the Word says, and we have that same faith that was in Jesus. You have the same love that was in Jesus because Christ is in you, is in your spirit, by His Spirit. So that faith is to be expressed here in your soul life. You are to live by faith and walk by faith. This is also the place of power because He is the Spirit of power. Jesus said, you will be filled with power when the Spirit comes upon you. So God has put his power within your life, but that power needs to be expressed in your soul life. He's also the Spirit of peace. Jesus said, "Peace is my parting gift to you. Not peace such as the world can give, but another kind of peace altogether. Peace with God, peace with yourself, that wholeness, that completeness that God wants in our lives." So that peace is to be here in your soul life. So you're actually experiencing peace and radiating peace even in the midst of all the, sometimes the turmoil, the difficulties that we have to face. And he is also the Spirit of joy. And you know that the Word of God says we're to rejoice always, we're to give thanks in all circumstances and so on. So God has put that Spirit of love, that Spirit of faith, that Spirit of power, that Spirit of peace, that Spirit of joy within your spirit. And he wants that joy to be expressed along with the other qualities here. You can go on and on. It's the Spirit of righteousness and so on. But if we just stick with those five things, because if you walk in those five things, you will walk in righteousness. Hello? And you will walk in holiness. So our problem is this, that when we look at ourselves, we don't see in our self-life what we see in the Spirit. Hello? There's a difference. Here, we do not see perfection. But do you remember what Jesus said? Now, this is a command he gave. He said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." So God's purpose for you is perfection. He cannot reduce his standard for you or for any other believer. But if you've ever tried to make yourself perfect, I guarantee you failed. And if you think you've succeeded, just ask your friends and they'll tell you you've failed. Now, there's a lot we don't understand about perfection, and I don't want to talk about that this morning. But what the Scripture says is aim for perfection. Paul says to Timothy, aim for godliness. Aim to get the God who lives in your spirit expressed in every area of your soul life. Now, what is revival? Revival is when what is in the spirit is being expressed in your soul. That God has done such a work that this is not locked up in your spirit. God gave us during the week a very simple little prophetic word in one of the meetings. He said, I have been locked up within you as a prisoner in your spirit. Now I want to be released into your soul. And that's the reality, that there are many, many, many Christians that have what God says they have, even though they may not know it or believe it, but that's what he's put within them. But Christ is like a prisoner locked up within them. Christ is in them, but he's not able not to flood their soul life, their self life, their natural life with his supernatural love and faith and power and peace and joy. So you don't see a consistency in their lives about those things. Right, now, we've just finished the 3 weeks of feasting and fasting. We had a number of meetings here, encounter evenings, four at the beginning and one towards the end. And of course, we've been meeting every day in Rafi, encountering the Lord every morning there during the week. And of course, we've had Sunday services when we've also been able to encounter him. Now, God's purpose in putting all this life into our spirit is to get it transferred into our soul life. And only the Holy Spirit can put this within us, and only by the Holy Spirit can it get transferred from here to here. So what has the Holy Spirit been doing during these last few weeks to lead us towards the point where there's such a release of His life in our soul life that we as a whole church are going to be transformed? So far, there is some change, but there's much more transformation to come. Now, what's He done? Well, first of all, He began on the first night of the encounter evenings that we had. It was a time of repentance. That's where we always have to begin, because God causes us, the Holy Spirit causes us to see ourselves as He sees us, and to understand that there are things, or there were things going on in our lives that were in conflict to this life. Unholy things, unloving things, depending upon ourselves instead of His power. All kinds of fears and anxieties. Joyless because we can be critical and judgmental and negative. So He addresses all those things because He says, I can't put that life on top of all those negative things. You've got to be cleansed of those negative things. And we've just read in those scriptures from Hebrews that it's by the sacrifice of Jesus that we've been made holy and perfect forever. So therefore, it is by that sacrifice, through the blood of Jesus, that we get cleansed of all those negative things. Now, of course, that was what God was doing at the beginning of those encounter evenings, getting our lives cleaned up, getting our hearts cleaned up. I'll come to the heart in a moment. Of course, having done that, we have to stay clean. Hello? That's why in the areas of that God dealt with, especially in the media fast, we don't go back to any former standards that may have been going on in our lives, but we maintain the purity, the love, and all the positive things that He has been doing in our lives in the last few weeks. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you for your encouragement. So God was cleansing us. Now, He has had to do something more than just clean us, because we could be clean, cleansed by His blood, but still that life is there and not here. So the next thing He says, right, well then you have to surrender your soul life to Me in a fresh way, because it's only according to the measure you give that you receive, that you get back. So this soul life has to be under the dominion of the Spirit, of Christ in us. So God took us during those encounter evenings through a process whereby we were surrendering to Him. I can remember one evening leading a time through when we surrendered every part of our being to Him. You know, we surrendered our thinking, we surrendered our speaking, we surrendered our listening, we surrendered our desires, all those emotional things of the soul, we surrendered our wills, we surrendered our bodies, we surrendered our money, we surrendered our property, and we said, Jesus, You are to be Lord of every area of our lives. So that was the next stage that God took us through, because without that surrender, you won't get the transference of the life that is here into your soul life. You might get a trickle, but you won't get the flow that God really wants. The next thing he said is now, give me space. Open your hearts, open your lives, open every part of your being so that the life here can flow here. So we had to be cleansed of the negative thing because he's not going to pour his positive life on top of the negatives. We had to surrender ourselves and then say, right now, Lord, I'm open. I want you. And this is the key thing. During that phase, God was bringing us to the point of saying, Lord, I want your holiness in my life. I want your love. I want your faith. Because I want to walk in love. I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul. Isn't that the word of God? All my mind, all my strength. I want to love others as I love myself. I want to lay down my life for my friends. I want to fulfill all your commands to love. So I want your love in my soul. Because if we don't want that love in the soul, then it's not going to happen. And I want your faith. Because Jesus says, you know, anyone who has faith in me would do what I've been doing. Well, we've got to have his faith to do what he was doing. Amen? So I want your faith, Lord. I want your faith operating. I don't want just my weak sort of human faith. I want that divine faith that you have given me by the spirit of faith. I want that spirit of faith to be operating in my life. I want the power, not just for myself, but for you to empower me to walk in your ways and to live the kind of life to which you're calling me. I want to be full of that peace. So I'm not full of anxiety and negative concern and all the rest of it. And I want your joy. I want your joy to fill my life so that I am actually fulfilling your word to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. So we had to desire that. And then on the last encounter evening that we had, God was showing us that the key to all this is, of course, the Holy Spirit. That it's the Holy Spirit that has put that holiness, that love, that faith, that power, that peace, that joy within us. And only the Holy Spirit can transfer that into the life of our soul. So our prayer then becomes, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me in every part, in every way, so that the fullness of Christ I have here is in my soul life, so I am overflowing. My cup overflows. And that's the place where we are now. Our need is to keep calling on the Holy Spirit to do that. Listen, God will not do it just as a passing fancy. He will only do it when it is the earnest desire of your heart. When it's as if you get hold of God and almost shake God and say, I'm not going to let you go till you've done it in me, until you have filled me in my natural life here every day, until you have filled me with your life. So that which you have given me is being expressed in my life. I'm just not going to let you go. Every day, I'm crying out to you from the depth of my heart. Lord, fill me to overflowing in every part, in my thinking, in my speaking, in my listening, in my desires, in my relationships, in my work, in my leisure, everything with that love, with that faith, with that power, with that peace, with that joy. And of course, the measure that you give is the measure you get back. How serious you are in your intention will determine what God will do, because what you can't do is to hide your heart from Him. Now, where does the heart figure in all this? Well, the heart is really in this place between the spirit and the soul. Heart is actually quite an awkward word in Scripture because sometimes it refers to your spirit and sometimes it refers to the soul. But the heart really is the place where you are going to determine whether your heart is set on the things of the spirit or whether your heart is set on the things of self, which means they're set on the things of flesh. Amen? So if it's our heart's desire that all that God has put within us, in our spirit, through his spirit, is then expressed in our souls, he is going to do that. But he knows your heart. And he knows whether it's really your desire. Even when you're praying, he knows whether you're just saying it because it's what you ought to say, or whether it's truly your desire, because that is what you want. And of course, it's only when we desire what he wants that we're really in line with his will. Now, this is where we need to bring the body in. Because, of course, all this, God is working in us. And it is for our benefit because obviously we are going to be much happier people, much freer people when the more God does this. And let's be clear, this is not an event, it's a process. And it's a process that is taking place now, it's already begun now. You have probably noticed the difference now from the beginning of the year if you have been participating in what we've been doing in the feasting and fasting, you will already have noticed a difference, but you will still probably be aware that there's still a room for a lot more. A lot more change, a much bigger difference to happen. Now, the purpose of all this is so that out of your body will flow the rivers of living water. In other words, that your body will become a radiant body. That's how the scripture describes you. You are to be radiant. Your body is to be radiant with the life. Now, if the life of Jesus is just like a prisoner here in your spirit and isn't being expressed in your soul, then the body can't express it. Because the body will only express what is going on in your soul. If you look miserable, it's because your soul is miserable. And you are denying what is there in your spirit. Amen? If you're being grumbling and judgmental and negative, it's because that's what's in your soul. In which case, you've got to go right back to the beginning, get the negative out, make a fresh surrender, say, Lord, I'm open for your life. Your life isn't a grumbling, complaining, judging life. So we don't want to lose ground. You don't want to have to go back over all that stuff again, do you? We want to keep moving on with God so that his positive life is expressed through our lives. Amen. Is this helpful? Okay, it'll be even more helpful when you do it. You bless preachers when you do what it is they preach. Now, the scripture also says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the presence of God. Now, the temple is in three main parts. There is the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt in the temple. There was the what was called the holy place. That was the place of sacrifice, where the sacrifices were made. And then there was the outer court, which where all the people of the world, even Gentiles, could come into the outer court, but they weren't allowed to go into the middle or the... Only the high priest, of course, in the Old Testament times, could go into the Holy of Holies. And that only on one day a year, on the Day of Atonement. But of course, under the new covenant, after the cross of Jesus, He opened up the way to the Holy of Holies for every believer. But your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have the Holy of Holies within you. The place of God's presence. Now, if you're carrying the Holy One within you, if you believe that, if you're sensitive to that truth, isn't that going to make a difference what you do here? Because this is the holy place. Now, the holy place is not, if I can put it this way, it's not as holy as the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. It's the place of sacrifice. It's the place of offering, where we offer our lives, where we open our lives, where we want our lives to be filled. So that then that holy life can be expressed. If you find the word holy difficult, just use the word love. Because love is the chief expression of his holiness. So if you find it a little easier to say, well, this is the place of the love of all loves. God who is holy, God is love. This is the place where that love finds expression in our lives because we sacrifice our bodies as a living sacrifice. We give ourselves to the Lord so that in our lives we can express that love, and our bodies then do the works of love and speak the works of love, because, of course, your body it only does what the soul tells it to do. Amen? You can't act independently of the soul. So here you are, you today, where you are, your spiritual condition at this moment. If you are a born-again Christian who has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, this is your position. God has made you holy. Your spirit is the Holy of Holies. Christ is in you. You have been sanctified, made holy, made perfect forever. You understand that the scripture says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without that perfection, you can't go to heaven. But the great thing is that you have that perfection within you by the grace of God. So that is the spiritual truth of you this morning. Here, well, every one of us in this room at this moment is in a different place from everybody else here. Because that life is expressed to a whole number of different degrees, which are determined by how fully you have surrendered yourself, how it is truly the desire of your heart for that which is in the Spirit to be expressed in your soul. But what God is wanting is for every one of us to keep moving further and further and further to the heart of his purpose, so that more and more and more of that life, every day our prayer is, Lord, more of you in me. Because if there's more of you, there'll be less of me. Don't say less of me and more of you, because it doesn't work that way. But if there's more of you, there'll be less of me. The more I'm filled with your love, the more I'm filled with your life, the more I'm filled with your power, and so on. Then, of course, that will determine what each one of us does. Now, let me make this clear. Within his kingdom, among his children, God has no favorites. You can't look at someone else and say, well, God is blessing them more than he's blessing me. Listen, God has blessed every single one in precisely the same way. He's put the same holiness, the same perfection, the same Spirit, the same Christ, the same spirit of love, the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of power, the same spirit of peace, and the same spirit of joy in every single believer. He has no favorites in that sense. How much of that is expressed in your life is your responsibility. How you respond to him. So you can't look at somebody else and say, well, I wish God would bless me like that. Well, you do the business with God and he will bless you like that and even more so. Because there is so much here, it will take you the rest of your life to download all of it. But there comes a point, there comes certain breakthrough points where the Spirit of God comes upon us. In Rafi, in the last couple of weeks, we've had two or three times where that's happened. It's as if God has made an impartation. And he wants to do that. And there will be times in the coming weeks and months, as we worship here on Sundays, when God will do that. It's as if an impartation will happen. Not by people praying for you, not laying on of hands, not ministry, but directly by God, directly by his Spirit, because he's answering the prayer of your heart. Okay, now, we're going to break bread in a moment. And I want you to understand why Jesus gave this sacrament, this gift, to his church right at the very beginning. What did he do when he took the bread? He broke it, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body. My body." All the benefits of his body, of his humanity, is given in this gift. He took the cup, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." The new covenant is that covenant of love to which we all belong. And he said, "Do this. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, this is so typical of God. He gives us something so simple, but with such profound meaning. Because you have to start in the reverse, really, because you receive these gifts in the body. Jesus chose a very practical thing, the ordinary common, that was the common food and drink of the day, of course. So we receive into our bodies that life. And we say, "Well, wait a minute. Isn't the life in the Spirit?" And God's answer to that is yes. That's where I've come to live in you. But I want that life in your body. So I give you that life through these gifts. Those gifts are consumed, are digested, and become part of you. So that which you have in the Spirit can be more fully realized in your soul and expressed in your body. It's not just a little holy moment. It really isn't a time to pray for one another. You know, often we share the gifts and we just want to pray. It's not really a time to pray for one another. It's a time to receive directly from the Lord. This is my body. This is my blood. So we're going to break communion and receive, so that we can understand that all that we have here, God wants to see digested in our soul life and expressed in our bodies. Now, we're going to follow the ancient pattern. Our earliest knowledge of how they celebrated communion in the very early church, they did three things. There were some preliminary things, but the heart of the service consisted of three things. The offertory, as it was called, the offering, not just of money, but the offering of themselves. That before they received of the Lord, they made a fresh offering of themselves. And so that's why we haven't had the offering so far, because we're going to have it in a moment. I'll explain that to you. And then the offertory was followed by what was called the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving. And in that prayer of thanksgiving, everybody gave thanks for everything that God had given them, everything that God was doing in them. In time, there were formal prayers, but originally it was much more an open time when people just thanked the Lord for all the blessings that were received. It's great, you know, if you give a present to someone, you expect them to say thank you. And you know that if they say thank you, they appreciate the gift, and you're likely to give them a further gift at another time. But if they don't show any gratitude, you think, well, what the heck? I mean, you know, they didn't even value what I have given them, so why should I give them anything more? But it's a bit like that with God. The more grateful we are, the more he can pour into our lives. That's why the scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, because the more we give thanks, the more God will do. And you've probably discovered by now that if you're resentful about something, God won't lift a finger to help you until you start giving thanks. Once you start giving thanks, then he will lift a finger to help you. In fact, he'll lift his hand to help you, and his hand is a mighty outstretched hand. But not until you give thanks. Even in the difficult circumstances, you give thanks because God is greater than the circumstances. And instead of being filled with all that negative resentment and anger, you start to give thanks, and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and all that stuff begins to flow. Amen. So we're going to have a time of offering. That's why we've left time for this. We only had short time of worship at the beginning. And then we're going to have a time of thanksgiving. And then we're going to receive the gifts. Amen? Now, let me just say something about the offering. I'm just going to lead you a little bit in this so that we do reaffirm that offering of our lives wholeheartedly to God. Now, when we're together as the body of Christ and somebody leads in that way, what happens in your life depends upon how fully you're engaged with what is being said. I mean, you can stand there and not really engage your heart in what is happening, in which case nothing much is going to happen in your life. But if you engage your heart with what we're saying, then God is going to bless you. Are we there? I mean, you know, it is according to the measure you give that you will receive. Now, when it comes to the offering, I think it would be good for all of us to put something in. Now, I know... my wife and I, we do our offering by direct debit every month, and some of you would do that, and some of you just write a check once a month. And that's fine for our tithes and offerings and so on. But it would be good this morning to put something in the bucket, even if it's just a pound coin. And if that's too much for you, put a penny in. But put something in that actually symbolizes, Lord, this is the offering of my life. It's not just an offering of money, but I'm just doing this as a practical expression of the way I'm yielding my life and my body afresh to you. Amen? And then we'll have that time of thanksgiving, and then we'll go into the time of communion. Everybody's reaching now for pennies. No, pounds. No, you can put a 50-pound note or a 20-pound note in if you like. If you think if your life is worth that much, then you can put that in. But at least make some kind of an offering to the Lord. Okay? Let's all stand, but don't let's get sidetracked by the money. Praise God. Now, first of all, Let's just close our eyes and focus on the Lord. Just begin to praise Him in your heart. He is the Holy One. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Heaven is for holy people. So just thank the Lord that He's made you holy. He's sanctified you in Christ Jesus. Made you perfect forever. Thank Him that He's put all those things into your spirit that we've spoken about. We're actually getting the thanksgiving before the offering, but it doesn't matter the order of it, but as long as we do these things. So just thank Him that sacrifice that He poured out on the cross for you has made you holy and perfect forever in the sight of God. That perfection is in Christ. That He is your holiness. You don't have a holiness of your own. He is your holiness. He is that perfection. Thank Him for the love. Thank Him for that spirit of faith operating in your life. It's there within you so that you can trust God and depend upon Him every moment of every day. There's no situation where you cannot trust the Lord if you call upon the Holy Spirit to enable that. Thank Him for that power. As Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That you have that power in your spirit. Thank Him for that peace that passes all understanding. The scripture says, He is our peace. Jesus is your peace. Christ in you is your peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace such as the world cannot give you. Thank Him for that peace. Thank Him for the joy, the spirit of joy. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So He's put the joy in you. Now He wants to see the fullness of joy in your soul life. So much joy in your spirit that your spirit cannot contain it. It overflows into your soul and then is expressed in your body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now thank Him that He wants all these qualities to be seen in you as a person. Whoever claims to be a Christian must walk as Jesus did, the scripture says. So thank Him that He wants to flood your soul with that love. So that you know you're just loving. You're just a loving person. He makes you into a loving person. That you love Him, you love others, you love your brother in the same way that Christ loves you. That He wants to flood that soul with every quality of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for that which you have already worked in us. Thank you that you've been cleansing us of the impurities, cleansing us of all those things that are a contradiction to your life in us. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that you have delivered us by that same sacrifice. You have delivered us from the power of sin. that sin no longer has any dominion over us, that sin is no longer our master, that not one of us in this room has to sin. We never have to sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us for all those times when we chose to sin and we grieved you in the process. We thank you for the complete forgiveness that you have given us. We thank you that you have taken all the guilt away from us. And we bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've been cleansing the room, ready for your holy presence to come and fill it. Hallelujah. For all that love and power and peace and joy. So, Lord, we offer to you our lives afresh this morning, as indeed we need to do every day of our lives. We surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we give you, Lord, every area of our soul life. Now, just quickly do that. Say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my thinking, that I will think with the mind of Christ, not just with my natural thinking. Because you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. So thank you, Lord, that your thinking, your thoughts that are higher than my thoughts, you're going to raise the level of my thinking, so that I think much more in line with your thinking than just with my natural thinking. Lord, I give you my eyes that I will look upon that which is holy and good and not upon that which is dark and sinful. I give you my ears, Lord, to be open to your word of truth, to hear what you're saying in your word and by your spirit. And Lord, I will not listen to any negative criticism and judgmentalism. And I give you my mouth so that I am not guilty of that myself, that I will not speak negatively. I will not speak critically, but I will speak positively. Because your positive life is in me. I give you my heart, Lord. I surrender my heart so that I really desire, with every part of my being, I desire what you desire for me. I really want you, Lord. I want you, Jesus, in every area of my soul life. I want you to flood my life with your life. I want to overflow with that life, overflow with that love, overflow with that power, overflow with that joy and that peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. So I surrender my will afresh to you today and every day of my life, Lord, to want what you want and to say no to any temptation to sin, any temptation to please myself rather than to please you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to find my joy in pleasing you, because that's the greatest of all joys. It's the joy that lasts forever. And to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. So, Lord, even as we yield ourselves, give ourselves to you, so we know that you want to give yourself to us. So I just want you to stay in prayer and just to pass the offering buckets around now. And as you put that offering in, whatever it is, even if it's just a coin, usually I like silent offerings where you can't hear the coins, but it doesn't, this morning it doesn't matter if it's noise. I'm going to put a coin in. Because it signifies, that's my life, Lord. It's a token of my life given over to you. Hallelujah.
just while that's happening, we'll break the bread. Lord, we thank you so much that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we're just going to worship quietly as we receive communion. So this isn't going to be a time to pray for one another. But as you receive those gifts, just thank the Lord that he wants all that he has given by his Spirit to be expressed in your being, soul and body. And these gifts are just a demonstration of that. And believe that as you receive those gifts, God is doing a further work in you to make that life more obviously visible in your life. So if the servers would like to come and begin to distribute the gift.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.